hard thumb, not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got a bunch of calls. So 713-780-3776. Who wants in? 713-780-3776, the number. Art, get off of Fidencio. What is the deal?
Real D Green says, have Easterby Zoom call Miami, put on his big creepy smile and shout, do-over! He's not going to do a do-over. Chuck makes a good point. Can you name a tradable commodity on the Texans right now other than Watson? No one else would even warrant a second, much less a first, and that includes J.J.
No, J.J. would warrant a second.
Ooh, no way.
Yeah.
End of his career, he's being paid 20.
He's still...
You have to have... Look, no one rents... He's at the end of his contract. You have to pay him more money.
Look at it. He's still a force.
You're going by Texans rates. Nobody's giving J.J. a second.
He's still playing good football.
He's playing good football. He's not as impactful. J.J., at this age, with his injury background and the money you have to pay him, will get you no more than a third from a desperate team. I think J.J. plays it out. Maybe he's a cap casualty. And Wisconsin, from what I hear, he'd like to get back up and play at Green Bay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I've heard he'd love to go there. I think J.J. doesn't want to be with the Texans
anymore.
A good team
that has an injury, I think they give up a second. Because let's face it, it's going to be a late second rounder. And I if you're going for it, if you're a good football team that needs defensive line help, if you had an injury or something.
You're talking about this year before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's a lot to give a guy who you know is potentially a rental player. And with the injury history, that's a lot. That sounds like something O'Brien would do.
Or it's a team that's good, that's desperate.
But he's just not healthy. He just doesn't stay healthy in three of the last 4 years. I mean, that's got to be a concern.
The 49ers would be considered desperate. You think they're giving up a second-round pick for J.J. Watt?
Well,
and
you know,
that's a late second-rounder, too.
And that's a weird situation because they are like, would we be willing to sacrifice a second if we knew it could help us win a championship? Although they need to get their quarterback back. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a rare instance where you look and you say, maybe this is what we need just for this year alone because they are so desperate because of injuries. But, you know, who knows? If I'm the Texans, I would – if you want to give up a second for J.J.,
you think
I salute him. You've done a great job. Thanks for everything. You've been such a model citizen and great football player, but we're taking a second.
I have no faith that Jack Easterby could get a second out of any team.
No.
By the way, he's, you know.
Jack's been on – Jack and Bill O'Brien have negotiated all these deals. Jack has to wear these too. Jack was mentioned by Bill O'Brien as his number one consigliere from the very beginning.
He has to wear all these moves. You got him for the rest of the year at 15.5 this year, and you got him next year for 17.5.
Although they're out before next year, right? That's the easy out.
Well, no, there's no dead money.
No dead money, so it's not even guaranteed. None of it's guaranteed.
No.
So he's
already paid off
his
signing bonus. There's no dead money. So.
All right.
17.5 for him next year. I don't know. I think that he's attractive. This year and next, you got. Don't forget, there's still 12 games.
You might have a team who's willing to take that. Once again, I think a 2 is too much. But if you got a 2 and you flipped them a 4, something like that, they might consider. Right. A team might consider.
All right, let's get people in here. Devin wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Devin.
Hello.
Yeah. What's up, Devin?
Hey guys. Hey, I was just calling in about the scenario of, I really hope that this doesn't happen, but imagine if the Texans go on a run here and they make the playoffs, and I don't think it's going to happen, but let's, you know, be hypothetical. And Cal McNair looks over and says, hey, this Romeo Crennel guy can coach. Give him a promotion. I hope that doesn't happen. What are your guys' thoughts on that? And I'll hang up and listen.
He's got head coaching experience before. He's older now, though. I mean, he was in retirement mode, and he was kind of put to the, you know, I want to say kick to the curb, but he's, you know, not sitting at the – he wasn't sitting at the big table anymore. He was at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. So, I don't
– He's already, though, the oldest head coach, interim head coach in NFL history. He's never been a guy who's 73 who got a head coaching job.
He's not a long-term – no. I mean, maybe a dusty situation where you gave him one more year while you, if you couldn't find anybody that you really wanted.
If you couldn't find
or anyone. Or you're waiting for a GM to actually get hired and him to, which would be an intelligent move.
Right.
Let the GM hire his coach as opposed to whatever convoluted way you're going to do it.
But shouldn't the GM be not an easy hire? You want to get the right guy, but that should happen this offseason. Then he hires a coach. Shouldn't that be happening within? Can they hire a GM now if they wanted to?
Everybody's under contract.
No, people,
right now.
You're going to hire somebody who's not under contract, so can do that.
Well, fine, in the offseason. So.
Well, if you move up in rank, you can get hired.
Jack wants to
what?
And see, here's the other thing. People can't take lateral moves, so you have to keep that in mind. Nick Caserio, it could be argued it's a lateral move. Because the Patriots are intentionally vague.
But he's done with his contract after this.
Well, if it's a thing where he wants out of there, and I do think he wants out of there.
Then there's a possibility.
I mean, Jack Easterby is already.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if Caserio has Jack's. Caserio has to be able to trust Jack Easterby, which might be a big reach, but he may say, look, I'm going to work with you, but I'm not working for you. This is my team, I'm going to be the architect of it. We can work together on philosophy and team culture, but I've got to do all the personnel stuff. You can't get into that. That's going to have to be a discussion for any general manager who comes in, probably. But he does know Caserio. I think that's the guy that makes the most sense. And you don't if your GM gets to pick the coach, which I think should happen, then you don't worry about, you know, the whole thing about working with/for Bill O'Brien, which is really a nightmare.
Just so to point out, so the most successful guy to come off of Bill Belichick's tree, GM or otherwise, is Bill O'Brien, correct? GM/whatever.
Yeah, he actually had a winning record.
And who are the GMs? Scott Pioli didn't do well in Kansas City when he got out from under Bill. Is there a successful front office exec after they left the Patriots who has done well? Because I'm just pointing out, you just fired the most successful branch off the tree from Bill Belichick. Why do you want to go back to that particular tree?
Yeah, well, because
it's what you know.
Because Jack.
Oh, that's comforting.
Because you got Jack.
Well, I mean, that's how it works in a league. It's who you know.
Why are you questioning what Jack is saying?
Jack hadn't said anything yet. We were suggesting he wants Nick Caserio. Well,
just listen to Jack and just don't say anything until Jack says first.
Okay.
Otherwise, you
do us a favor and please shut up. Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until.
Yeah.
You get word from Jack.
Until Jack tells you.
Okay.
Why are you putting thoughts in Jack's head? Why don't you allow Jack to do his job instead of saying things for him? You keep bringing up Nick Caserio.
Gaslight Jack.
Has Jack said anything about Nick
Caserio? We're
trying
to gaslight Jack.
Did you?
Stop ruining it.
Do you know Nick Caserio? No. Does Jack know Nick Caserio? Yes.
But maybe Jack will like you to keep his name and Casario's name out of your mouth.
Well.
Until he makes a decision.
Maybe he already did.
This says
I think you forget. He flew to see Nick Caserio at the ring celebration. Yeah.
Johnny says his topic is Texans getting picks.
All right.
Let's go. Let's see what this
Johnny,
is.
Johnny, get us some picks. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, guys? Hey, call me crazy, but you guys said the only draft capital that we have would be to trade Deshaun Watson. What if we package him for the Jets, get the number one overall pick? I think they got two ones this year and next year. We could get three of those ones. Draft Trevor Lawrence, and then maybe a cornerback and a D lineman. Who says no?
No. They say
no.
The Jets say
no. Why?
Because
they're
not a quarterback away. They've got Darnold. They can have Trevor Lawrence if they want.
They're going to deal Darnold and draft Trevor Lawrence.
There's no chance that the Jets do that. No chance. But I mean,
We're just going to trade away our franchise quarterback. Is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, to get a franchise quarterback. If we get the number one overall pick.
So you believe that Trevor Lawrence will be a better pro than Deshaun?
No, not necessarily.
All right, then why are you trading away your franchise quarterback?
Right. He's the one attractive thing that we have here, if you want to know the truth. The only, because you got no picks. You don't really have any good players. You're in cap hell. You're salary hell. I mean, The only thing that you have going for you for a coach, somebody,
Deshaun Watson,
he said, one coach told me, he said, somebody asked, why would you want to go to Houston? He said, here's why, is because I want to know two things. Who's the quarterback and who's the owner? And you know what? I think Cal will stay out of the way.
Oh, he will.
He'll stay out of the way. Now, the problem is Jack Easterby, whether or not he's going to be those meddling kids, if he's going to be Scooby and he's going to be meddling with what's going on. But you've got the quarterback. So this is a still attractive job, despite the fact that you don't have any draft picks. Thanks, Bill O'Brien.
Wash says Caserio signed an extension with the Patriots back in February, but that's irrelevant because an agent listening said the rule is not lateral move. It's whether the executive will have final say over the 53 or the draft, 53 meaning the roster. As long as the executive has final say, he can leave his team. So even with that deal with the Patriots, that would be considered potentially not a lateral move, but a move up. Now, I don't know if the Patriots can block it or not. Maybe the Patriots can block that.
Well, they did last time in Cal.
They would again. Yeah. Oh, they would again.
Well, they were going to file tampering charges against the Texans.
Do you think
in fact, it was not a lateral. It was a move up, and the Texans still were scared to take on the
New England Patriots. Do you guys think you could get a first for Charlie Heck? I'll hang up and listen, caller Johnny. Now, that's not what happened.
No.
He didn't say Charlie Heck get a first for him. He hasn't even been active yet.
9-13 ES.
Heck hasn't even been active.
Is that Art again?
Yes.
No. You can't get a first for – he loves Charlie Heck, though. He loves making references.
I think he loves guys calling with trade proposals,
he
too.
He does love that, too.
Aren't we tired of digging from the Patriots' ass crack? That's something that came in here.
Well,
that's a tweet came in.
I use Branch, but to be fair,
yeah.
I mean, that's more apropos.
Let's talk about something that's appropriate, and that's Hoops Sporting Goals and Equipment. That's my man Keith Tate over at Hoops, and he's been doing this for 30-some years here in the city. I mean, you were talking about Hoops back in the 6-10 days, back in the 90s, Lance. I mean, this is how this guy has been unbelievable in creating a company that just has the best product, the goal raises and lowers, but it's the tempered glass backboard, it's the unrustable stanchion, it's the second to none installation, it's beautiful for your home, all right? It actually adds to the curb appeal, and then everything else, all the accessories that you get there as well. If you're looking for the best goal and it's not even arguable, there's one place to go, and that's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here, ProDunkHoops.com, that's ProDunkHoops.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I mean, this is so funny. You almost forget Dream Shake. We said that before about the Yankees lineup. Savages, please. If only we had Yordan and JV. Man, you forget that Yordan is on this team. Reddick was the DH yesterday. Josh Reddick. What if you had Yordan hitting fifth in this lineup right now? And Tucker sixth, Correa seventh, Yuli eighth. Holy crap. Tucker's hitting the ball, bro. Tucker's safe.
Everybody was hitting the ball yesterday.
Well, but Tucker's been hitting it in the postseason.
All I care is that Tucker finds his little 3-day hot streak in the playoffs.
Tucker is hitting the ball, bro. That's all I'm saying.
If Altuve and Springer and George here waking up.
Today, 3:37.
Frambie.
TBS.
He's been your most consistent pitcher all year. Framber Valdez on the mound and 10 runs on, 15 hits?
Over, under. What do you
think?
Over,
under is 9. Mm-hmm.
Astros are
I like
plus
under today.
The Astros are +1.5, -190. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will is here. What's up, Will?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Long-time listener, big fan of the show.
Appreciate
it. So I kind of just wanted to recap yesterday's events, right? So, of course, Texans fans, we got that breath of relief when the news broke that, you know, Billy O was fired, right? And I think promptly after that, Bregman hit that solo and Carlos Correa hit that two-runner and tied the game up 3-3, I think, in the bottom of the second or so. So I would think that Billy O was a cancer on all of the Houston sports franchises. But anyways, with that being said, I think the organization, it's probably going to be about a two-year rebuild. I mean, considering the fact that we don't have a first or second, regardless of how we finish this season, right, those picks are going over to Miami. So I just want to get y'all's thoughts on who the ideal candidates would be to be, I guess, to have our GM and coach pairing, because I believe I really would like Eric Bieniemy, right, the OC for Kansas City. But as far as the GM goes, I wouldn't know really where to start there. But y'all keep up the great work, and talk soon. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
So what was the question?
Yeah, I think the idea. I think a guy who's got the best eye for talent is Dorsey, but Dorsey doesn't fit in a Jack Easterby situation, and you know, and that's a shame that you're saying.
Yeah, but I think Dorsey. I think he was in Kansas City when Dorsey was there,
which probably means that they didn't get along.
Well, Dorsey and Andy ended up having a difference of opinion on something, so that's why he ended up being gone, but. Let me see when Jack Easterby was with the Chiefs because he was a team chaplain with the Chiefs. Yes, team chaplain is now the executive vice president of football operations of the Houston Texans and literally leading the direction of the team.
Literally.
I've never, like, personally, I've never seen anything like this. But when you look, let's see, does it have the year he was with the Chiefs? I'm trying to see. I don't see the year he was with the Chiefs. He was just previously with the Chiefs. But my guess is he was there when Dorsey was there. John Dorsey? I'm almost positive he was. And if that was the case, then Dorsey would be in play potentially. Or not. He knows right. him. He know he'll know probably if he liked him as a person or not. But you go with what you know, and but if you want to go interview the hot names, everyone's going to be talking Eric Bieniemy. I think Dabo Swinney should be mentioned from Clemson because of the connection to Deshaun and because of his personality. You can hire offense coordinators. Dabo's done a great job of hiring offense coordinators, and he's had Brent Venables with them. And who knows, Brent Venables might want to come up. I think that's a long shot. Hey, let me tell you something. I would consider Nick Saban. And there's always that thought that Nick Saban would flirt with coming to a pro team.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. He wasn't very good as a...
The thing is, Nick is going to want full control
Pete
anyway.
Wasn't, you know, right. I mean...
Never mind.
That little dude just has power. He just... Nah.
I'm sorry. Did you just say that little dude?
Yeah, he's a little fella. Yeah,
I don't feel comfortable with you saying that about Nick Saban.
He was our friend, remember? He used to go, "Hey, John Lance, how you doing?"
Yeah, he came on begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Let's get the call.
Well, he wanted, La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Juanito G, Lance, what's up, Delvencito? What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on,
la raza? First time listener. How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah. Hey, so I had a little theory. It's kind of like follow the money. Theory in respect of Rahizi. So Sunday, you know how we lost to the Vikings. I would have been pissed off. I don't know about Deshaun, but he said you couldn't take the joy out of me. Do you think Deshaun had something to do, or he knew that Bill O'Brien was going to get fired? Follow the money.
You know what? Your money actually may not be wrong here, because Deshaun steal my joy. This decision about OB could have been made last week. And I'll follow the money here. I'll go conspiracy theory with you, la raza. How about that Jack Easterby goes to the players, certain players in that locker room, maybe JJ, maybe Deshaun. You would imagine those would be the first two he talks to. and says, what do you think? What would you think? Do you think if a change were made, what would you think? Would that be something you'd be in favor of or against? And this is just all hypothetical. I just want to gauge what your feeling is. And if Sean goes, I mean, I've got a good relationship with Tim. If the change is made, I'd be fine with it. It wouldn't bother me one bit. I don't think you could discount that Deshaun Watson had previously been contacted and that maybe there was a thought in that building that if they lose this game that we're going to make a change. It wouldn't shock me if Jack Easterby had already worked that out with the owner. Because, look, this happened on a Monday. Dan Quinn didn't even get fired after two terrible come-from-behind losses.
You know, Deshaun was laughing and joking with the guys right afterwards. I mean, with the Vikings players, he may have.
Dalvin Cook and somebody else.
JJ came out. The first thing he said was, "Something's got to change. We got to do something different."
Might have been his
first thing he said.
Can you make this decision? We know the NBA player control players have all the power. Can you make this decision without talking to Deshaun first?
Yes.
Is it the right way of going about it?
No. I would imagine you. Well, if it wasn't last week, it was Monday morning they called him.
I think they already knew. I think they already knew. No, I'm kind of with Dell. I think you want to know how Deshaun would respond.
Yeah, no. I think they called Deshaun Monday morning and said, "Deshaun, what do you think of this?" Deshaun probably went, all right, cuz.
He's like, "Man, don't call me before a certain point in the day." He's like, "Is it 9 a.m.? What are you calling me for?
Bruh.
Dude, just do what you got to do. I don't care. Do what you got to do.
Do you see that offensive line? You see how I'm getting beat up? I need my rest.
I need a nap."
I'm not saying I would be mad if he got fired.
Jay is next. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just going to fall back on what y'all were saying right now. Did they know or they did not know? I just want to say thank you to Will Fuller for dropping that ball at the end zone, because I think they would have scored that touchdown. Converted the 2-point conversion, you know, maybe go to overtime, win the ball game. Maybe Bob will still be here, you know. So, thank you, Will Fuller, for letting that ball touch the ground and not causing it to be a touchdown. And another thing, what do you guys think the atmosphere in that locker room is now with Bill being gone, with Bob being gone? Thank you.
Well, if we're to believe, what's her name?
Diana Rossini. ESPN,
you know, there's no tears shed. There are a lot of players that feel pretty good about Bill O'Brien being gone. And I could certainly see that. Now, I think the players, though, we haven't heard. I mean, Brandon Brooks, when he left, he had a few shots for Bill O'Brien and how that's no fun there. And, you know, but players know what he did with Jadavian. They know what he did with D-Hop. They know he couldn't stand them, and he just got rid of them because he didn't like them, because he didn't like the way that they practiced. He didn't like the way that they went about their business. But they also knew, dude, you got taken. Dude, what are you doing?
People around the league were laughing at him with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, because Jack was in on these moves and trades too. I mean, Jack was all in. Jack was all in. He had comments at the little private get together, the off record get together. He had comments too where he was involved in all of these. He was involved in salary cap stuff. Jack was part of this. that's a little scary. He was part of these moves. And people around the league thought these were the worst moves. The Tunsil move, everyone loves the idea of getting Tunsil. That's not the problem. It's you paid a price that was unreasonable relative to the amount of money that you didn't even the fact that you didn't negotiate a contract. So you had all the leverage was given to the player. It was done. That's a rookie basic mistake. The money, the draft capital that was given to Brandon Cooks, a second rounder, that was ridiculous. That should be no better. You're taking bad salary off the Rams' hands. That's no better than a fourth you give up for that.
I would say this, though, in Jack Easterby's defense. He said he had a role in it. I think that dude ruled with an iron fist and is a dictator. And if you disagreed with him, you were out.
Probably.
Chris Olsen, you're out. Brian Gaine, you're out. Don't question what
why
I
was
want.
Chris, why
don't
was Chris Olsen gone?
What I want to do.
Why did Chris Olsen get whacked?
Well, I got some.
What are you hearing?
I can't say. I got some inside information that I just don't want to. I don't want to put Chris in a difficult, because Chris is still looking for a job in the NFL. So I don't want to put, but it
I can
was,
tell you what I it, heard from an agent. I heard that he argued against, this is from an agent, this is not from Chris Olsen. I heard that he argued against the Tunsil situation, that he said, this is not a good deal. We can't do this. And Bill basically said, be quiet. I'm going to get my guy.
I am not going to refute that. That's all I'll say.
Okay. And then I heard that, this is also what I heard. You can refute or not refute. Maybe you haven't heard this, that he went to the owner and said, I would like to be kind of a voice of reason and just, you know, somebody who has the ability. And this is Cal, the owner Cal, and said, I'd like to have the ability to maybe contradict the move and at least have open discussions where we're not all necessarily, it's not a yes man party.
It's a group think.
Yeah.
Right.
And that he wanted to do that and that Bill O'Brien got wind of it because Cal took it to Bill O'Brien and said, hey, I just want you to know, he thinks that we should do it this way. What do you think? And Bill goes, he what? Get out of here! You're fired! And then Cal, and then Olsen probably looks at, why are you snitching, Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I won't refute that either. Oh, 929 okay. ESPN 97.5.
Well, okay.
713-780-3776. I just have no comments on it.
Do you have any comments, or would you like to?
I have a comment about Coors Light.
Yeah? It's what cold, would you like to say
crisp.
About it?
I would like to say that I enjoyed my cold, clean, crisp, refresh. It's the official beer of watching playoff baseball. Chase, you hold on. Chase is up there. I didn't see him up there. We'll get a Bill O'Brien story on the other side. But it's also the official beer of listening to Chase's stories. It's the official beer of going to Chase's wedding and drinking. That's the official beer of it. Coors Light, because that's what I had at Chase's wedding. It's the official beer of playing golf. It's the official beer of everything I do, if you want to know the truth. And it should be your official beer, too. All you got to do, if you want cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, if you want Texas chill, you know it's chill because it's got the blue mountains, baby. It's got the blue mountains. And when the mountains are blue, it's Texas chill. You're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You're looking for the world's most refreshing beer. Climb on, brother. We're going to be at Damaris today throwing down a few Coors Lights. Join us.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 933 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Chase tweeted us and said, hey, you want me to tell a Bill O'Brien story? All right, come on. Let's bring Chase in here. What's up, Chase?
What's going on, fellas? How are we today in this redemption day of Houston sports? You get a guy fired and then the Astros go off. I think it was kind of a magical thing yesterday.
Yeah, somebody said he should have gotten fired earlier. The Rockets would have won the championship.
Anyway, as you guys both know, I spent a little time in O'Brien's first year in the training camp with them. And, you know, I'll preface this saying I really wanted to pull for the guy at first. At first.
But I love the hire just, at first.
Yeah.
And you would see him do some things, and you're like, okay, I can be on board with it. And then you'd see some things that he would do, and you're just like jaw-dropping. And the thing that really got me in, and I'll come back and finish up with the story, is when the Brian Gain thing went down, because I really like Brian Gain. He was always good to me. He was always good to everybody in the building. And when they screwed him over, I was out on the Texans completely then. I was so apathetic. And you guys both know this, when you're a fan of a team, but then you kind of get some access and see how things really run, you're kind of changed on sports because you kind of know how everything works. And when secretaries and scouts were let go, and they were good people and they worked hard, man, I was just like, I'm done with this guy because he has just completely gone bipolar on all this. And it was just such a bad look. And one of the first times I ever saw this was when we were on the first road game in training era in the preseason. We were in Arizona, and it was the night before the game, and he just went off. We walked in to the dining room, and all you hear is F this, F that, what's going on? You're like, holy crap. He is just reaming the team chaplain because he changed the time of the Bible study for these guys.
Was this Father
and it was
Clint?
Just like, no.
He was yelling, was, Father Clint? Okay.
No, no, no. But it was just like, you don't ever effing change my time. You don't know what you are. Do you not understand? This is my team. This ain't your team. I decide when all this goes, and just F him, F that. And the guy was almost feeble to the extent where I thought that he wasn't even going to make it back on the team plane going back to Houston. And, you know, you talk about the guys that really like playing for him. At first, all you heard was it was just a different regime and different thing than what Cougs did, because he had those guys up there from 5 o'clock in the morning almost to 12 o'clock at night at first. And the one guy that I saw really complain about it after the first couple of weeks was Shane Leckler. And when a punter that's been in the league and, you know, probably going to be in the Hall of Fame one day is saying, this is brutal, they finally opened up and like, okay, yeah, we can't do this or we're else really going to lose the locker room right away. And I think that's kind of what started some guys being on this side or the other, because they finally got to him. But just the bipolarness of this guy, and we talked about it before, you know, off the field, Bill O'Brien, great guy. But on the field and in that building, I mean, you go into his office to hand him something, and it's just thanks. Like, you didn't even want, you just wanted to just drop at the door. You didn't even want to walk in half the time. I mean, it was just, it was something else. And, you know, you hate when people get fired, but I got to say, I hope Jack Easterby is the next guy that gets the axe, and I hope Cal's not mesmerized by him, because if what some things that some of you guys are saying, and I can't really say that I don't disagree with it about some of the people that got let go was because of Easterby. If that's the case, I want no part of this guy in this franchise either, and it just needs to be a clean sweep completely across the board.
Chase, that's great stuff. Thanks for some insight into, you know, as someone who worked in that building, is the insight. I've heard some of the similar stories. I haven't heard that story in particular about, you know, cussing out a team chaplain about moving Bible study. But that's an example of people skills. The people skills were so bad with him. And if it's so bad like that, and if you are so up and down emotionally, your building's going to be just a mess. I mean, you're going to have people who are miserable. There's somebody who works in the on the executive side, executive personnel side, who a friend of mine talked to his wife, and she just said he's miserable, just miserable, because no one ever knows if they're going to be fired. No one knows. And this is last year when they're in the midst of just where King Bill was just whacking people. Jeff Kaplan, out of here, Kaplan. And that had to do with there's a big disturbance between the health side and the performance side. And Bill sided with the performance side. Those were his guys. And I think they're really pissed that Jeff Kaplan and the team wanted to hold out. I'm trying to remember who the player was. Maybe it was Will Fuller. Wanted to hold him out longer because they said he's not ready to go. And they were like, you need to get him back in there. Get him in. Say he's ready. And, you know, so I don't know. I got bitched out about bringing up the 4 concussions for Brandon Cooks because I do know what kind of concussions they were. I don't know. Concussions. There's 4 of them.
The good kind.
Oh, yeah. Like the good fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like avocado is the good fat.
The good fat.
Oh. See, well, I wish somebody would have said that to me. I didn't know there's the good kind.
Yes, the good kind.
Like, there's a lot of, you don't want trans fat, right? You want the
regular. No, you don't want the bad concussions. You want the good ones.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. If he would have just said that, that would have been fine.
Well, yeah. You don't know, though, do you?
Yeah. No.
You're not the one. You didn't look into it. You're not a doctor. Bill O'Brien's getting also getting his medical degree.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Eric is here. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Real quick on the football front. As far as Eric Bieniemy, I don't know if I want to walk away from a dynasty, because the only thing standing between him and maybe three or four rings is Russell Wilson and maybe Aaron Rodgers. But anyway, I had a baseball comment. I don't know if y'all talked about this earlier, but did you see that post-game interview with Carlos Correa? I found it restrained. Some might even call it measured. I was hoping he was going to go heel. As a matter of fact, after that second home run, I was so hoping he would bat flip, and he didn't do it. Hmm. I'll take your thought.
He does. He did, actually. Remember when he hit the homer against the Yankees, he flipped the bat and then did the ear. He put his hand behind his ear. And, yeah, Carlos has had, he's had words. He had words for Cody Bellinger. Shut the F up. Carlos had words for the broadcast group after the.
He's got a quiet confidence working with him right now. He'll let you know. He'll let you know, but at the same time, Carlos in the batter's box looks really confident.
Yeah.
Quincy Avery, the quarterback coach for Deshaun Watson, his personal quarterback coach. I'm going through some of his tweets right now, and all he said was, I think Tim Kelly is going to do a really good job the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
Let me see. What else does he have? I think there's something else here. Let me see. All I'm proving to you guys is you just listen to what people say. You don't really know that much about football. You roll with narratives. I'm always down for some all-22 cut-ups if your eyes are telling you something different, but you honestly can't watch a TV copy and know. I guess Quincy Avery's going after really – oh, this is about people going after Dwayne Haskins. That's one of his guys as well.
No.
But I'm trying to see if he's said anything else about Deshaun Watson, and I can't find it right now.
Who are you looking at?
Quincy Avery, Deshaun's quarterback coach. He's not his personal quarterback coach. I don't think he's saying that.
This is not Jack Easterby.
I know. Season two. Del got the season two of the one with the Mother of Dragons.
Yeah, where she went.
They lock up.
They were the wizards. They locked her up in
Daenerys.
The
House of the Undying.
Yeah, that kind of looks like Jack Easterby, but it's not really.
Dragons. Well, who's gonna set him on fire? Because that's what happened to that guy at the end of that.
You're
season.
The mother of dragons.
Right.
We want your dragons.
Yeah, that's not Jack Easterby.
No.
Although
I've already it's clear who he is. He's Lord Baelish.
He's
yes,
not
he
Littlefinger.
Of course he is. What else would he be?
Stop
it's clear.
You're going to get I'm not sure that you'll have a job after this.
Does he run this place too?
Well, you don't know. You don't know how far reaching Jack Easterby can be.
Man, if he runs this place.
943 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, Champion Energy was first and foremost on the docket. If you're looking for a great way to save money every single month, there's one way to do it, and that's by going with Champion Energy. I'm telling you, I know we had it down to 65 last night. We still use our air conditioning every day, so it's still going to cost. Now, it's not going to cost as much because it's not hot outside, and it's not nearly as hot outside, but why would you not want to save money all the time? If your contract is up, switch over, and I'm telling you, you're going to see savings now all the way through the summer when it gets that those bills get ridiculously stupid. Don't just wait for the summer to say, oh, I need to change. Do it now. You get to champion.energy/1560. That's champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sarah, I think that's probably something I really don't want to get into. You know, know, I think at the end of the day, I tried to do always every day what was best for the organization, what was asked of me. I really did. Did we make mistakes? Obviously, we made mistakes. I mean, I don't think anybody's perfect, but we worked very hard to field a competitive team. We had a competitive team for years here. I think this is a competitive team, but you know, obviously, you got to win games to be, you know, really, really considered that way. But and we hadn't gotten it done. So, you know, in the end, you know, I did always what was asked of me, whether it was Bob or Cal and Janice, and tried to do the best I could.
That was Bill O'Brien yesterday in his goodbye. I mean, I don't want to kill the guy. I mean, I didn't like the way he ruled. I didn't like the whole aura that he brought to the organization. We've heard a lot of behind the scenes stories about his the way that he went about it and treated people. So you know, and he's hard to root for. That's all.
No tears will be shed in the city.
No.
You know, it's too bad though, because I did think there was some coaching stuff that there were times where I thought pretty highly of him. But at the same time, you got to get guys to play for you, and there needs to be a consistency of attitude. There needs to be – your head coach needs to be somebody who, even if you get fired up, knows how to bring it back and needs to be calm in the midst of a storm. That's why Dan Quinn's even still in Atlanta. I mean, number one, Dan Quinn got to a Super Bowl and should have won one. But number two, the players believe in him. The front office believes in him. But you can't be a raving lunatic half the time and a good guy half the time. It doesn't work. That's not head coach mm-hmm. stuff. That's coordinator stuff. You know, that's college where you can have guys transferring in and out, however it may be, because they like you or they don't like you. But I just know that Bill O'Brien's his death knell was when he got control of personnel. All that happened to me is he helped to not only his personality, but he helped to seal his fate even quicker with some of his personnel moves. What do you think about what that one guy said, the caller earlier, who made this comment? If Will Fuller catches that, I mean, if that's secured for a touchdown and they get a 2-point conversion and they win in overtime, Bill O'Brien's not getting fired.
No.
He wouldn't be fired on the – and then they play Jacksonville and get mm-hmm. a win, and it's 2-3 all of a sudden. The Will Fuller drop, ironically.
One of the biggest plays in Texas history.
One of the biggest plays in Texas. Altered the course of do you even recognize Bill O'Brien in that without a hat on? I don't even recognize him in the post-game press conference.
No.
Or, I mean, post-firing press conference, which is what Dell played a soundbite from, just so you know.
He's on right now. He's on ESPN.
80% chance of rain expected in New Orleans on Thursday night. Speaking of the Cougars and Tulane.
Yeah, but they're playing here.
Oh, that's right. LA, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's here, Del. Yeah.
No, the question wasn't the game itself. The question affected
that's
the
right.
question
TDC,
about
yeah,
Tulane
TDCU.
And whether they wanted to fly out. That was
it, oh, no, I out and fly back in. Oh, that's a little scary, because then you got to be flying back into the hurricane
and get prepped for it and all that stuff. It wasn't a question of whether a game could be played. It'd be about, because I knew it was here. It's just about whether Tulane wants to do it.
That night, is there going to be a chance that they don't want to fly in the weather?
Be away from there, actually stay here.
I'm telling you how I've seen it happen where they're like, we want to be with our people. We want to be prepared. I don't know if it'll happen. I just seen it happen before.
Yeah, I think. Well, if you want to know the truth, if you're smart, people in the administration, you want those kids out of there. More than that, you know what you say. Let's go to Houston and let's stay in Houston after the game, which no teams do. Let's actually stay there till Friday, see how it all.
I think it's supposed to hit how it all goes. Saturday. No. Yeah. Friday.
Say
Friday.
Friday.
Night, I think it's supposed
to
hit. Yeah.
Say they're Friday, and let's see. And then we come back when the storm is gone, as opposed to being here during the storm.
Well, it's apparently a Category 4, so who knows when they'll be able to get back in, which is another consideration. But we'll see. As of yet, nothing about a cancellation of the Tulane-Houston game. Just know, if you have people in New Orleans, you probably already do know, but there is apparently a major hurricane on the path to that area. So let your people know and tell them to be careful.
Yeah. No. Well, which hurricane came? The University of Houston. They went up to Dallas. Remember, University, the football team went up to Dallas.
Was it Harvey?
Was it? No, it wasn't Harvey. It was the. It was one before that. Were they? Well, I think when the whole city was evacuated.
Ike.
Ike. When the whole city was
Rita
evacuated.
Rita or Ike.
They
one
went
of
up.
Them.
They went up there and they stayed up there for a few days. The best thing is to get the kids out of there. But all right, Gary is here. What's going on, Gary?
Hey guys, just a hypothetical question. If the coach had to come from the collegiate level, which one would you choose? I'm gonna hang up and listen.
Oh, Dabo.
Yeah, Dabo's number one.
I take Lincoln.
Who?
I'll take Lincoln Riley. I would Dabo CEO fine. I want someone who has a particular expertise. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I feel like I want to mind an offensive mind. With Deshaun, Dabo would hire a guy, I guess, and hopefully it would work out. But give me a proven offensive mind with Deshaun.
Matt Rhule would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Year late, dollar short. But Matt Rhule would have been awesome. But the two big names would be Dabo.
He's done a nice job already.
But there's been no buzz. Oh, he really has.
Yeah.
There's been no buzz about Dabo going to the pros. So I don't even know if that's just we're just saying that because Deshaun is Clemson.
And Lincoln Riley has said he's staying put.
Tell you what, Lincoln might want to rethink, though.
It's only 1 year.
If they catch another L against the Longhorns, he catches three in a row. Well, that luster's off.
Has he lost? Oh, you mean three losses in a row?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you think three losses in a row would remove the luster of the how many straight playoff appearances he's
no
authored?
No.
Well, I think
I wonder
would,
why they are. I mean, is Spencer Rattler that?
He's made mistakes.
Yeah,
they're not very good.
But
their defense
they should be
the offensive line.
So much more talented.
They don't trust the offensive line. Yep. They're not as physical. They don't run the ball.
Years in a row,
and they overcame it last year because they had a.
I think they get away from the run too quick, though.
Well, Lincoln has proven that he doesn't trust them as much because he like kicked a field goal on 4th and 1 inside the, I don't know, the 15.
Which
he would never do that. In previous years, you go for it because you have first. You
can
had
Rattler run. Why I don't know.
He's
why
not unathletic. He's just not Jalen or Kyler.
Yeah, I thought he was a better runner, but they don't run him much.
No, they don't. They don't use him in the design quarterback
he
run.
Takes
game
a
at
lot
all.
Of sacks. Made some bad mistakes.
He's a redshirt freshman. That's what.
Yeah,
happens
that's what
with
happens.
Those guys.
But their defense has really just not been very good. And their offensive line, as you mentioned, they won a Joe Moore Award 2 years ago. They were bad last year. May lost all their whole offensive line other than their center, Creed Humphrey, who was a freshman at the time. And, they're still not that good. They're still not that good.
Underrated mess. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. I was already having a pretty good day yesterday when the news broke and then the Astros started tying the game that Bill O'Brien got canned, but I just don't think I ever lived through the kind of elation over a coach getting fired here in the city of Houston that I ever had before. I mean, it swept the city so quickly on the Twitters, on my text messages. I had people across the nation texting me, my homie in Detroit, saying, man, I hope this gets Patricia fired next. I mean, it was just awesome. And I'm glad to kind of be able to enjoy to watch the Texans again and kind of see if Deshaun is able to kind of throw the rock around a little bit better and just see how they perform better as a team. I appreciate it, fellas.
So what was your text strings like? I know we, on the Glory Boys text string, we're out there. I had this one. Will you please go to Billy O's presser and just ask questions in your Mac Brown voice? That was out there. I got a lot of texts from a lot of different people, too, about...
Yeah, mine was mostly disbelief. What? Is this happening? Is this really happening?
Yeah, people who are excited.
Yeah, people were very excited. Yeah, so we, you know, but hey, we were locked in. Locked in. We were locked into the Astros. And it was, you know, but it was like, holy crap, that's great. Now hit another homer. Let's go. It was a great sports day yesterday. I mean, and I hate to feel bad for Bill O'Brien, but Bill O'Brien, I mean, I hate to be, you know, we were going to play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, the Wicked Witch is Dead.
And you know, the voice of reason here was like, it's a bad look.
No, I think it's a bad look because I don't want to.
No, I was the voice of reason. I don't want to.
No, he was too.
Yeah, I didn't.
He was lukewarm on it.
I wasn't.
You guys are soft.
Because it's the first thing I thought of when he got fired, but. I don't want to revel in his misery, although he didn't exactly seem to be all that worried about anyone else's misery.
It is quite, no,
no
from the
didn't.
Stories, no. It is quite interesting how the firing of a coach lifts people. Because I remember when it was Dabo, speaking of Dabo, Dabo led his Clemson team with Deshaun into Miami. And Al Golden was, I think, 4-2 at the time. And they just ran all over them. The game wound up 58-0, the worst loss in Miami history. And, of course, you're way down about it. You're like, oh, and then we still got to stick with Golden for the rest of the year. And then you start hearing stuff like, that was the final straw for everyone. I know he's got a couple years left on his deal, but the money people are like, nope, nope, can't have it, can't have it. And then then 3 hours later, Al Golden's gone. And the feeling of relief that comes over you when a guy you think is driving your favorite team into the ground is told to go away, it's like, it's real. It's a real thing.
It's like, yeah, there is going to be in that building today. There's going to be a relief. There is going to be, I think, a renewed hope. When you walk into a building every day and it's down and you feel like it's down, you're downtrodden, like you have to walk on eggshells, like there's somebody that's just dragging the entire organization down. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, I tried this, I can't believe, stupid NFL trade, and Bill O'Brien didn't come up immediately. Because it's synonymous. If there's a dumb trade, immediately, all the Twitter responses are, well, what would Bill O'Brien do? Well, we got to call Bill O'Brien.
Every time there was a trade, Bill O'Brien would start trending on Twitter, no matter who got traded.
I mean, that's
Bill O'Brien.
That's not what you want your team synonymous with. No. That's not what you want.
Not that it matters, Yard Barker. I just typed in worst trades in NFL history, and this was posted 5 days ago. Number one with the bullet, the DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson trade. Considered the worst trade of all time.
Of all time. The worst GM of all. He wasn't on the job for 2 months. He was the worst GM in NFL history.
And you usually don't judge a trade only 4 games after the trade has happened.
Well, but he was the one.
And people have decided, worst trade ever.
He was the one, well, only because of value. If you don't want DeAndre Hopkins around, I get it. You don't like him. You don't like his work ethic. You don't like all of those things. But the value that you got was just the worst. And then he lied on top of it, that he said he called all the other NFL teams. When Washington said, hey.
Yeah, caught in a lie with that.
They didn't call us. He didn't call. Nobody called us.
That probably didn't sit well. That might be one of those character things that didn't sit well with Jack, too.
Yeah.
You never know. Now we're worried about it. I mean, he may have made Jack mad. And so Jack had to get rid of him. And people are like, Jack who? The chaplain guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Chaplain guy. Yeah. The chaplain guy will get rid of you.
I swear, if his first hire as head coach is Joel Osteen, I just don't think I can
keep.
That's
not what's going to happen.
But if it does.
No. We don't need more than one man of God.
Benny Hinn is the new defensive coordinator.
What about?
I would like it if he just did this. They were touching running backs, were falling on the ground like, bang! Oh!
Well, how about touching Will Fuller's hamstrings? Yeah. How about curing instead of, yeah.
Stand up out of your chair. Like Will's in a wheelchair. They wheel Will Fuller in for Benny Hinn to hit the hand on him. I mean, it's a thought.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, here
JJ's pecs.
Yeah, we're making jokes, but watch. We're going to see a televangelist become a bigger part of the organization.
There's not. That's
Texans will make appearances on TBN. Instead of HEB commercials, we're going to see Texans on TBN talk. By the way, that's the Christian Broad. I don't know why it's called TBN, but it's like the Christian
Trinity Broadcasting Network.
You're going to see JJ talk with Benny Hinn, getting the hands put on him. It's going to be a new
Bill
direction.
Bill O'Brien never did an HEB commercial, did he?
No, he didn't.
All right, just checking.
I want you to know this.
Ooh, TD Jakes.
You can
make appearances before the game. What?
You can go right now and you can bet on. I wonder if you can bet on who the next head coach is going to be. Let's take a look. at my book, you will be able to at some point. Who the next head coach is going to be for the Houston Texans? Yes, they do that kind of stuff all the time. But right now, it is so unbelievable with all the baseball that's going on, both National League and American League going on today. So you got both those games, all that you can bet on. You got live betting, in-game betting. When the Astros were down 3, did you bet on the Astros? Because you would have gotten great odds. Well, that's what you can do. And you can do that every game. And you can do that with NASCAR. You can do that with golf. You can do that with tennis. Did you know the French Open was going on? No one did. But here's the deal. You can bet on it. You can bet on the election. You can bet on anything at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It's easy. The best site to navigate. It's so simple. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They'll match your initial deposit, which means that you'll have double to play with. Whatever you put in, they double it right away. And you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.